Thank you, Brother Martin. You know, I appreciate that song. That's a victory song. The world wants us to think we're defeated, thinks the church is defeated. But no, one day we're going to be marching into glory with the Lord, and we're the winners. Amen? I'm going to try to do maybe what I haven't done in 50 years, and that's be a little more brief. Love to reach that goal. Never have. But shut up. Some folks don't know when to amen at all. Well, I know he knows he's telling the truth, but that's what bothers me. I didn't hear anything. Did y'all hear anything? I'll be like the Twitter and the Facebook. I'll censor you. What? No. Sometimes you just let the squeaking wheel take care of itself. All right, come on, let's get with it here. Book of Proverbs, chapter 11. We didn't get through with that. Proverbs is the practical book. It deals with us where we live, where the tire meets the road, where we make choices and decisions every day of our life. So it's guidance to us. It's advice to us. It's God's advice. It was given to the wisest man on earth, Solomon, but it was given by God. And so as Solomon penned it to us, it's something to take heed about. You know, you'd pay big money to go to a counselor, maybe, psychiatrist, if you're dumb enough to. But anyway, here you can open the Bible and get it from the top. Get it from the Lord. Get it from the man that he had his hand on to write it, which was Solomon. So as we jump into it, there's a lot of so much good in it. And I'm going to start off here, I believe tonight, with verse 11 of chapter 11. Some real practical stuff coming on. It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. By the blessing of the upright. In other words, the man that lives right. The city, others are affected, others are blessed by it. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Well, we know about that, don't we? And, of course, with me making the transition that we're making here, I've been kind of counting my blessings, and I want to say to you folks, maybe it's a little word of testimony tonight. I appreciate you very much. I appreciate you on accepting my recommendation so I can still hang around and be of help here and there. I appreciate that very much. And a lot of folks come to me and said, preacher, I didn't get a slip in, or I didn't get my slip, I didn't vote. But you know, I'm gonna follow your recommendation. Well, I thank you for that. Even though you didn't maybe get the slip in. My wife made a confession. She said, I didn't vote. My next question should have been, who would you have voted for? So I figured that she didn't vote. She didn't want to tell me, right? I'm joking with her a little bit. But I've had some good testimony. One fellow said something like this. He said, he was telling me somebody else asked him, you going to follow the preacher's recommendation? He said, well, look, I've been here all these years and I've not failed to follow one yet. Why would I change now? So that's trust, and I appreciate that. That's good. And think about it logically, folks. If God was going to lead anybody as to what path to take, wouldn't it be the pastor that he's already taken down the road as far as he has? I think so. I really do. And so I feel real, real good. I feel blessed, as this word says here, God's blessings on me. I feel blessed by the trust of people through all these years, and co-workers, and those that have held up my hands, and those that have trusted me when it didn't look so good. Our valleys we've gone through, and decisions we had to make sometime looked pretty dark, but God was in it, wasn't he? And we came through by with God's blessings on us. So as I read the proverb there and I think about, yes, I've had the blessings, and if you want to look around this area, they've been blessed because Landmark was here. If you could, and some of you could, go back in your mind and remember what it was. We helped out a lot of places. Even the old hotel, there's right in the middle of town, and I guarantee you nobody else did what we, and they had the chance. They didn't want to touch it. Couldn't. Oh, it's so tempting to tell stories. Any of you know that the city spent $20,000 to find out if that building could be imploded, brought down like you see them brought down on TV? They lost that $20,000. I'm truth. I got proof of it. Some of you that helped me work on the hotel, I can take you up there in the hotel right tonight. In fact, a piece of the concrete's in my office as a memorial right now. They drilled out a circle about 3-inch diameter, maybe 4, in various places in that building. Expensive drilling. I'm not talking about just a hand drill. I'm talking about a machine brought in there to drill out those holes, to test that building's strength, to see what kind of explosive and if it was possible. You've seen them on TV. Come right straight down, crumble. They spent that much money. They're kind of ashamed of it, I think. You ain't heard much about it. I'm probably the only one telling about it. But anyway, they didn't get nothing except to answer, you can't do it. It's built where you can't bring it down like that. You can blow a hole in the side, or you can take a wrecking ball and knock a hole in the side, but it won't come down. I think we were a blessing to take it, don't you? As well, it's turned into God's used it for a blessing for us. Here in the last several weeks, Brother Parsons and the college work crew and all of them, Brother Richard, all of them have been down there refurbishing that ninth floor up there where you were up there the other night. It looks really great. I said refurbish. We did it the first time. Then because the radio tower got knocked down with the truck, we had to put the radio station's antennas up there, mess the place up a little bit, but now it's restored, looking really good. They've done a great, great job on it. So I think the blessings God's blessings on me sometime have bounced off to be a blessing somewhere else, and I think it's been a blessing to our area. I really do. I'm blessed with you, church members. I'm blessed that my wife stayed with me all these years and backed me. In fact, sometimes you don't know all the good she's doing. I was digging, and you know how closets fill up, don't you, ladies? Dangerous sometimes. I fall on you. But I was digging in her closet, which I generally stay out of, and I found a shoebox. Well, curiosity, I opened it up, and I found 3 or 4 eggs in it. Then I found a wad of money, almost, I think it was $5,000, all wrapped in it. I thought, oh, my soul. I knew she was thrifty. I knew she was probably smuggling something away somewhere. But this is great. So I went to her, and I said, I found this box. But what I want to know is, what's 3 eggs in it, and how in the world did you get all that money? She said, well, it's like this, all these years, 50 years. 50 years, every time you laid an egg, every time you struck out in a sermon, I put an egg in the box. I thought, that's pretty good, 50 years and only 3 eggs. I said, okay, honey, that's not bad. But I said, where'd you get the $5,000? She said, oh, every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them. So sometimes the blessings you don't know about. I'm funning with you some, but God has been good to me, and thank God for the people that He has set shoulder to shoulder to work with me, and thank God for my wife, and of course, all of you have been so great. And I think about this, the blessings. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now, we got to be careful. We don't, that's crossing the street. That's a comparative truth, as we see Proverbs do it all the time, every verse almost. And it warns us. It goes on down in verse 12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. You know, it takes grace sometimes to hold your peace, don't it? Just remember this, once it's gone, you can't bring it back. The toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't put it back in. I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, well, you can wish all you want to, but you said it. You got to watch out for that. That's the weakness of the flesh. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. I know a fellow that was in pretty high finance, and I went to school with him, and later on he climbed up that way, and I'd see him time to time and talk with him. And he told me this. He said, you know, one of the little secrets of not making too many bad mistakes is when I was just as sure as anything I was right, I'd hold my peace for 2 days. He said, you'd be surprised how many times 2 days threw a different light on what I was about to do, what I was about to say. That's good advice for most of us. And that's the self-discipline that's behind a lot of success, being able to do what the Bible says and have the rule your own spirit. It says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but that he is that is, get it right, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. That makes us bring up the question. What kind of spirit is the talebearer following? The sower of discord. Who is he following? What kind of spirit is leading him? And he that is of a faithful spirit is doing the opposite, concealing the matter. Now, you say, isn't it wrong to hide something? No, sometimes it's right to hide something. You ought to always ask, what's my motive for telling something? Am I trying to hurt somebody or help somebody? In fact, we all have this nature about us. We've got to watch it. Somehow or another, we think that if we point out somebody else's faults, that lifts us up, but it don't. Oftentimes, it puts you down. It's a terrible, terrible thing. You've heard me tell the story so many times because it illustrates the truth so good about the lobster fisherman, and he took a friend with him that hadn't been lobster fishing, and he saw the man catch a lobster and put it in the basket, steel basket, what it was, and pretty soon he caught another one, but this time he didn't put the lid back on the basket. He just dropped the lobster in. And so he said, I tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, you didn't put the lid on. He's going to crawl out. And he looked at me and smiled and said, no, he'll never crawl out because the other one will reach up and pull him down. And I said, when I heard that story, I said, that's Baptist lobster. Don't get ahead of me. If I can't excel as high as you, I'll pull you back down to my level. Now, that's a joke calling them Baptist. That's a human. That's human weakness. That's where we as humans, if we aren't careful, if we can't make the grade, we don't want somebody else to, so we'll hold them back. And we have to watch out for that. You see that type of thing penalized in sports and things like that. But here's a warning about it. The warning here is that about the talebearer, revealing secrets, pulling somebody else down of the wrong spirit, and says in verse 14, opposite of that, or tells us the problem with that, where no counsel is, the people fall. You know, sometimes you just have to stop And if you can't get counsel from nobody else, have a meeting with yourself and just think it through. Take the time to think it through and say, Lord, show me the fallacy of what I'm thinking. Show me the failure of it. Show me the weak place in it. And God's pretty faithful about that when you ask him to do it. And where no counsel is now, it goes on to say, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Yes, I'll just qualify that in this one way, if they're good counselors. Some of you young people, I hate to say it, but some of your peers are not good counselors. In fact, they need counseling. And they need more than that. They need what used to be called some other things. But the truth of the matter is, it's wise to seek some that's wiser than us. I don't mean, and be careful about this, God don't want us to make a crutch out of anybody. He wants us to be free and independent in his sight and with him. But he does give us common enough sense to seek help that we don't have and to seek it from the right source. You know, my car got to running bad the other day, so I took it to the plumber. You say, of course you didn't. Of course I didn't. Now, I also wouldn't take my plumbing in the house to a car mechanic necessarily. Who's qualified to give the counsel? Who knows? Who's smart enough? Who's wise enough? So go into the right source. And I say this so many times to young people. Don't counsel with those that's been no further down the road of life than you have. They're no smarter than you are. And by the way, life does wise you up. And experience does help. And yes, you can read it, and that's fine. But check it out where the tire meets the road. Is it real? Is it true? That sort of thing. So the great warnings here in the book of Proverbs about the loose tongue and so forth, we need to always check which spirit we're talking in, acting in. We all should ask ourselves the question, will it help? Will it hurt? And of course, is it true or not? But I also want to say this, it can be true and still wrong to say it. Amen. And that's where I've had folks say to me, well, it's true, okay, but were you the authority that was supposed to reveal it? Were you the one that revealed it with a motive of hurting somebody else? Then you done wrong, even if it's true. We have to be careful about that. Isn't it an amazing thing how folks will pass a tale on as long as they don't have to be the one that is spotted for doing it? I never forget years ago, and maybe I was a little tougher in my younger ministry, I don't know. Had somebody come sit across my desk and just do a butcher job, a hatchet job on somebody else. And I sat there and listened. Then finally I pulled out a piece of paper and a pen, and I said, all right, now, what was the date on this when it happened? Where did you see it? What is the name? And you're going to sign it right here. Oh, no, I'm not. I said, well, I got to call them in and tell them what you said. I got to at least tell them who said it. Oh, no, no, no. See, there's something fishy about that stuff. If you won't face it, something wrong. And of course, we see this in the news media all the time. Now we've come across some new words in our culture, or lack of culture today. One of them is fact-checking. My question is, who is the one that produced the fact you're going by? He's calling it a fact, but is it a fact? Has it been proven? Has it been tested? Is it true? Boy, we're seeing deception. I've said this so many times preaching. We live in the age of deception predicted in the Bible. But before the coming of Christ, and boy, it's going to build up to finally the great deceiver himself. The devil and his antichrist is going to be on center stage. It's moving fast. I was getting my hair cut today, and some of you thought I never would, but I finally did get a chance. And talking with the barber. You know, just people that maybe are not in church all the time, and all they're still seeing stuff's moving fast the wrong way. Ridiculous stuff is happening. And the world out there is taking notice, even if they don't know enough Bible to go by it. It's really happening, folks, moving. And so I think about that. I think about this thing, fact checking. Well, we got a fact book, God's book, God's facts. So we measure everything by that. That's the way we want it to do. So this is a lot of warning here about the loose tongue, about the gossip, about the slander, about the sower of discord and all of that. And then it draws a few conclusions here. The merciful man, verse 17, doeth good, but it says it does it good to his own soul. Isn't it a good, clean feeling, innocent feeling? The Holy Spirit will beat you to death, grieve your very soul, if you become party to wrongdoing, to wrong talk, to passing on gossip you shouldn't have passed on, hurting somebody else. Bible puts a warning on that. I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but all of us have been in a spot where the Holy Spirit grieved us. And what was he grieving about? He said, I want you to recognize that you did that wrong. You said that wrong. You were in the wrong place or whatever. And I can take rebuke from a human, fellow man, without hurting near as bad as when God rebukes me. Boy, that's the most pain there is, isn't it? And that's what you got to get fixed to get over it. You know, sometimes we all use time this way. Well, time will pass. Time will make it all right. Time will heal it up. Well, it does have that effect to a degree. But if it's wrong with God, it won't heal it up till you get it right, till you actually get it right between you and him. And he'll help you do it. He's always willing. You know, some folks you might offend, some folks you might have a conflict with, and you even try to go reconcile with them, and it may get worse. But with God, it won't get worse. It'll get better when you bring it to him. So here we have this. And then it talks about, in verse 15, I want to say just this. Look how they play on the word sure here. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. Amazing how it plays with the word there. But let's think about it just a minute. That's talking about trust. I said something about trust a while ago. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I'd have to raise mine probably too. Have you ever trusted somebody that let you down? Of course. That would be with all of us. For the more you trusted, the more you had to lose sometime. Now, we got to be careful. The devil will make us never trust anyone. So it's a fine line there that you got to watch out for. It's talking about suretyship. It's talking about signing, co-signing the note, so to speak. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever signed a debt with somebody else and you wound up paying it? You signed for them and, I don't know, to purchase something or something else. So the Bible warns you about that. It's not a smart thing to do. You know, I've seen folks that got in deep trouble. They didn't originate it, but they came to the rescue, so to speak, of somebody else they trusted. Now, it's tough sometimes to say no, especially when it's family members, some of you grandparents. You've helped grandkids out. By the way, there's a scam on the phone. I don't know if they ever called you about this or not. Have you ever had a call and a fairly young voice on the other end of the phone says, hey, Grandma, this is Susie or whatever. Now, you know what they're counting on? They're counting on you to be about half senile, and they're going to make you think it's a grandkid, and you got to send them some money. You ever had that scam, Pooh? I had one. Oh, it's been a long time. I believe it said, "This is Papa. This is your grandson, and I've got to have some money. They're fixing to put me in jail." I said, "When did that happen? I saw you earlier this afternoon." Boy, he hung up. You know, I mean, that's kind of stuff out there. But don't they play that trick? Sure, they do. And we all have gotten bit sometime or another with something like that. And maybe it happened to you in high school or Or maybe it's happened to you since. Or maybe it's happened to you after you got older. Bible warns you against it. Warns you against it. Now, of course, the way you don't do it is you have the right foundation before that. I will say this, and I've seen it happen in earlier years, even before I was saved. I've seen moms and dads and grandparents just so abused by kids, grandkids. I know something I wouldn't tell you who for anything, but a fellow got saved here in this church. And he came to me because the Holy Spirit was beating the fire out of him. He had found where his grandparents had their nest egg hid. They were taking care of him. They were feeding him. They were getting him somewhere to sleep. He'd have been on the street if it hadn't been for them. But one day he found the nest egg, several thousand dollars. Probably all they had. I'm sure it was all they had. And he went out and blew it on the dope or what he was into. But after a number of years, now they're dead, he came confessing that sin. I thought to myself, what kind of hardship did he put those people into that loved him and trusted him? That's evil as evil can get. No wonder once he got saved, the Holy Spirit brought it back up. And I said, well, there's not a lot you can do about it right now. You sure need to talk to God about it. You can't restore it. They're gone. But he didn't have no peace about it, and I can understand why. That's a terrible deed, terrible deed. Bad stuff happens like that, and the Bible warns you ahead of time. God sees this stuff, knows what the devil's going to do next, that sort of thing. Be wise about it. Be wise. Now, don't go so far to say, well, I'll never trust anybody. No, that's wrong too. You have to pray for God's wisdom. Measure with God's yardstick, the Word of God, and ask God to help you in those kind of situations. Proverbs is practical. It gets deep into where we live, into our hearts and our minds and our actions, and it's an encouraging book if you just take the advice. You can read portions of it, and God may not speak to you, and then you hit a verse that just speaks deeply to you. And so, the best advice on Bible study, yeah, study your Bible, study the deep things. But if you just read it, God will help you in a very practical way. Amen. Brother Bert, you're going to have choir practice. All right, choir, let's come on up. Let's all stand and let the choir come on up because we got Anniversary Sunday coming. Brother Parsons wants to meet with the workers now over in the cafeteria. That's where you want to meet, I believe, Brother Parsons, in the cafeteria. And let's get ready for Sunday. Father, may your blessings be on this Sunday. May souls be saved. Bless in everything we do. Jesus can be lifted up. And we ask it in his name. Amen.